live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. As we continue through your word, Lord, the Gospel of Mark, we ask that you lay your hands upon our eyes, that we would see, and our ears, that we would hear, and our hearts, that we would receive, and our hands and our feet and our mouths, that we would apply. We look to you, Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing through the Gospel of Mark, I see a correlation. Jesus, you know, in this portion of Scripture, the end of chapter 4 and chapter 5, he performs 4 miracles. And 2 by way of his word, just a word. And 2 by way of his touch. 1 touching him and the other he touching the little girl. But these miracles. Jesus calms the storm over the Sea of Galilee. Then Jesus frees this demoniac, this man filled from the Gadarenes. The Gadarenes, you know, started from the tribe of Gad. You remember when Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh settled on the east side. And they're the origin of the Gadarenes. How they started the swine business, which was against the law. In verses 21 through 24, Jesus meets this ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. Then Jairus, falling at his feet, the Bible says, a ruler, a man, a dignitary, you know, really comes off his horse and falls at his feet. He lays down his pride before Jesus, giving us a great illustration of what to do. Coming before Jesus, he lays at his feet And he asked because he was at a point of desperation. His daughter was at the point of death, was dying, asking Jesus to accompany him back to heal his daughter. On his way back, he agreed. He went with him. And then on his way back, the multitudes are pressing against him. This woman with the issue of blood, hemorrhaging for 12 years, unable to stop the blood flow, fixed in her mind, if I could only touch his garment, I know I'll be healed. And another miracle performed as soon as she touches his garment. And then ending in chapter 5 with the account of Jesus going into the ruler Jairus's house and there healing his daughter, 12-year-old girl. Miracles. One right after another. And how Jesus, through these miracles, again, demonstrates his power and authority. One, over nature. You know, being able to wake up in the middle of a hurricane and just address the storm and silence it. Yet he has authority and power over nature. Demonstrating his power over the spiritual world again. This demoniac, this one that's filled with a legion. Robertson said a Roman legion had over 6,000 troops. Many, many, many spirits. Showing his power in the spiritual realm, his ultimate power. Freeing this demon-possessed man, showing his authority in the spiritual realm, showing his authority and demonstrating his power through the miracle of healing this girl that the doctors could help. And finally, by raising Jairus from the dead, his showing and demonstrating his power and authority over death. Biblical doctrines, Jesus conquering death, Jesus reigns over sickness. Jesus, the head of all spiritual principality and power. In the spiritual realm, he reigns. But we see that these miracles Jesus performed in these four accounts are performed through a word or by his word and by or through his touch. Power over the storm. Interesting, at the end of verse 35, chapter 4, he gives a directive. Let us cross over to the other side, in verse 35. Not, let's get in the boat and see if we can make it. You know, not, let's give it a shot. Get in the boat and see what happens. He had given clear direction to the disciples. He said, hey, let us cross over to the other side. Giving a clear directive through his word. By his word, you know, the storm, the water gets choppy, a windstorm arises. And it must have been a doozy because, again, these were fishermen used to the sea. But when the wind and the waves start to beat up against the boat, the Bible says it started taking on water, began to fill it. The boat began to sink. They were freaking out at the magnitude of the storm. It wasn't because it was just some, you know, choppy water, but it was a dangerous storm. Why they awoke Jesus? Why they, you know, accused him? Don't you care whether we perish? You know, brings up the lesson or the object that, you know, we go through storms. And, you know, you can relate this in different ways, but how, you know, being in a storm, you know, the waves and the wind beat up against our thoughts or our soul or our heart. You know, how things get pretty wild sometimes when going through storms. And, you know, pressure or stress, you know, anxiety coming against us, going through a storm. that we began to doubt. Hey man, this storm is getting out of hand. Why would Jesus allow this to go so wild in my life? And would raise doubt in us, would raise doubt toward Him. Don't you care about me, Lord? You're allowing things to get out of hand, out of control. And really, it's almost, you know, acceptable how they responded. But yet, this is all, you know, predicated upon His directive. Let us cross over to the other side. So when they woke Him up, you know, He rebuked them for their lack of faith. But you know, when we challenge Him or question Him, you know, whether He cares, it reminds me of another account when in the book of Matthew, really questioning our faith. In chapter 15, the Bible tells us that when Jesus went out from there and departed the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to Him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and urged Him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But He answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It would almost, you know, show that Jesus didn't really care. He was almost acting like He didn't care about her. He's kind of giving her the cold shoulder, as maybe the disciples thought, because, you know, the storms were kicking up. "Don't you care if we perish?" But as this account continues, and then she came and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." But He answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Though it seemed like maybe He was giving her the cold shoulder, He was really just stretching her faith. And though it seemed like He was maybe, you know, don't care because the storm was getting so wild, in all truth, He was trying to test their faith. And sometimes with us, you know, it seems like maybe He's allowing things to get out of hand, when He's really trying only to test our faith, to stretch our faith. For He goes on "Why are you so fearful?" He questions them in verse 40. "Why are you so fearful, and how is it that you have no faith?" And really the directive that He gives them is, don't be afraid, but believe. Have faith. Going through the storms and things getting out of hand. First account, the miracle Jesus performs, is really demonstrated through His word. For when they wake Him up and He calms the storm, He does it with a word. "Be at peace, be quiet, and be still." And He calms the storm, and the storm ceases through His word, by only His word. His power being conducted through His word. The first account, test of faith, power over the storm. The next one, when He crosses over and goes to the land of the Gadarenes, again demonstrating His power through His word. He's met there by a demoniac from the Gadarenes, unclean with an unclean spirit. Again, a legion when He addresses them, many spirits, really giving us a picture of somebody that was really bound spiritually. Notice in verse 4, chapter 5, "Because He had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by Him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame Him." Giving a picture of how bad His condition was. I mean, they tried to restrain Him, but failed. their efforts in trying to help this guy. You know, at least tie him up, keep him, you know, from hurting himself. Failed. Ineffective. No one could tame him. No man could help him. He was, like, wild, out of control, hurting himself. The Bible says that he cut himself, took stones, hitting himself, hurting himself, self-destructive. A picture of someone in sin to the degree of the destruction brought upon their own lives, their own soul. Here, giving a picture of how bad he was, no one could help him. Great need, destructive behavior. A legion, again, according to Robertson, you know, he said there was many spirits, and when they answered Jesus, they said, "We are legion." And according to Robertson, there's 6,826 men in a Roman legion. And we know that there was many, many spirits in the man because the Bible says there's 2,000 swine. And they entered 2,000 multiple swine, multiple demons, entering multiple herd of swine. Just giving the condition of or the magnitude of his spiritual bondage. He was in great need. He was in such need, Dr. Phil couldn't, you know, help whatsoever. No man could help. No one can tame him. No one could restrain him. No one could deliver him, free him. Major spiritual bondage. But by a word, freedom came from Jesus. Look in verse 6. When he spotted Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And then look in verse 8. For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." No man could help. No one could restrain him. All efforts were ineffective, without power, without result. And yet, with a word, Jesus delivers him and frees him. With a word, be at peace, be still, be quiet to the over nature, and come out of him over the spiritual realm. Freedom came, delivering the man. That's interesting, because we see this next picture of this man sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Delivered, freed, a new disposition, new man, new nature. Notice in verse 19, he wanted to go with Jesus. "Get me out of here. I want to go with you, Lord." Experiencing his power, his word, his deliverance, his freedom, this new spiritual life that he's received. Asked to go with him, but Jesus in verse 19 says, "However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and then tell them the great things that the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you.'" Be a witness. The directive he leaves this man with is, don't go nowhere. Stay put on this island so that you can be the light and salt here and to be a witness. We just watched that Greg Laurie Lost Boy again. And he added a few chapters about the death of his son. But Jason pointed out in a little pamphlet in the DVD there that he's always trying to evangelize. And part of, you know, he had a 3-point, you know, basic, simple sermonette message in there. But one of the points is, man, tell others what God has done for you to be a witness. And that's what he's telling him. He's leaving him there. He's saying, you know, stay here. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell others how God has had compassion on you, how he's delivered you, how he's freed you, how he's changed you, to be a witness. That's the most effective way that we can share, is because it personalizes everything. We just share the word, it's mechanical. But when we personalize it, it becomes subjective. What Jesus did for me, he delivered me. You know what? He left him there to be a witness, freed him through a word, and gave him that directive, you know, to stay and to witness. Gave the first, his disciples, the directive, don't be afraid, have faith. Believe. Gave him the directive, stay and witness. The next two miracles are conducted through a touch. One by touching and reaching him by faith, and the other by Jesus touching the little girl by grabbing her hand and touching her. Both demonstrating how he performed the miracles through touch, through a word, through his word, or through a touch by faith. But the woman with the issue of blood who pressed against him, finding no help among the physicians, spending all her money, the Bible says, and her condition just grew worse. Her condition wasn't, you know, improving at all, but she's just getting worse and worse. 12 years, she's hemorrhaging blood. No doctor could help. Look in verse 26. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. You know, picture of another that no one could help. She had great need physically. But it's interesting how her miracle and healing came about. She made up her mind by faith. If only I could touch Jesus, he can help me. I know he can help me. This is a picture of, you know, pressing in towards him with our need. And if I only contact him, pressing in, pushing forward, till I establish contact, till I reach him, touch him, we can do that by faith. And she does it. And, you know, the Bible says that as soon as she touched his garment, he felt the power being released from him. Something was different in the way people touch Jesus by faith. He recognizes that. And the power went out, and the Bible tells us that as soon as he touched his garment, she felt in her body she was healed. You know, 12 years she suffered. Man, if I could only touch Jesus, I know Jesus can help me. And by touching and contacting him by faith, was delivered, was freed, was healed. In verse 27, she made up her mind. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately, in verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Through a word, by his word, or through a touch to contact him by faith, miracles recorded one right after another. In verse 30, you know, he questions the disciples, who touched my clothes? In verse 31, they kind of like, you know, were not ridiculing him, but look around, there's so many people. You've been contacted by a lot of people. Now the power went out. Somebody's touching me. Somebody's really trying to reach me by faith. Someone's trying to contact me. And someone did contact me. Who touched me? And notice the directive he gives her. In verse 34, as soon as she was fearful to come clean, but she finally fesses up, it was me, comes before him. And in verse 34, he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. The directive he gave her was go in peace. Your faith, man, made you well. The final miracle recorded is another one demonstrated by touch. Jairus' daughter, according to the other Gospels. Verse 41. He came into the house, he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated little child, I say to you, arise, touching her by her hand. Different means by which he demonstrated the miracles. But notice the directive he gives in verse 36. It's to Jairus. As he comes in, as they're heading back to the ruler's house, they're met. Your daughter's dead. She died. Don't worry about it. Jesus, she can't do anything anymore. Don't bother the teacher anymore. But Jesus turns to Jairus to comfort him and says, again, directive, do not be afraid, only believe. Same directive. Going through a storm, need new life, facing the impossible, sickness. Four miracles, two by word, two by touch. And either by his word or by his touch, touching him by his by our faith, reaching him by our faith, or being touched by his power. It's interesting, when he comes to the Gadarenes, he faces the Gadarenes. The Bible tells us that they rejected him. They encouraged it, witnessing the power that he demonstrated in freeing this demon-possessed man. They didn't want him. They rejected him. They sent him away. Please depart from here. Rejecting him. The Bible says, for as many as rejected him, or he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus was used to being rejected. He's used to being rejected. But as many as received him, the Bible tells us, to them he gave the power to become children of God. The spiritual freedom he granted this Gadarene man that was filled with demons, he grants us. That word, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power, is exousia. It's the same power that changes. Receiving him, receiving his touch, receiving his word by faith, receiving or experiencing the change, accepting his directives. Peace over our storms may be a test. We're in. He's trying to stretch us. But what does he want us to do? We know through Scripture what he wants us to do is, don't be afraid, but have faith to believe in him through the storms. Freedom spiritually. No other means of help can touch and change and help and free in the spiritual realm. Only Jesus can. By faith, touching him brings healing. He sat there in the right state of mind. Newly changed clothes. In Luke it says that he ran around naked. Oh, now he's clothed in the right state of mind. New life. The directives. Don't fear. Have faith. Two times. Stay and witness. To witness and to share what Jesus has done for us. How he's had compassion on us. His mercy towards me. I experience his grace. Often I live by his grace. Not because I deserve it, but because he loves me. Sharing how he's had compassion on you. Sharing what he's done in your life. To be a witness. And go in peace. He tells the woman that reached out by faith. Blessing him by faith. Let's stand. First Sunday of the month, we're going to have communion following the four miracles Jesus performed. Let's pray. Father, we look to you and we thank you for your word, Lord. We ask that it would communicate, bypass our rationale, logic, and you would download it, Lord, in our heart and our spirit and our new nature. Help us understand what you're trying to tell us. Help us be responsive, not to be afraid, not to fear, but to believe, but to have faith, to go in peace. Lord, we look to you for direction, directives. And we see, Lord, what you're saying, to witness, to share what you've done for us in our life, how you've had compassion on us. Lord, do flow. Do help us communicate. Do help us respond by faith. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.